Good afternoon, Micah. It's always a privilege to be used by God in this way. I'll actually talk about the previous messages that we have been blessed with. Pastor Dennis started off this series in Colossians, and he started off with the foundations of the land and those things that how where it is at present moment and how the people were. And then we had Aaron and we had Sam speak about that as well. So I'm not going to go over the initial things that they have gone over, but to understand where I am, where I'm coming from, or where I start from, it's best to go back and listen to those messages because they were great. They had great nuggets in them, great things to take away from them. So I would advise everyone that hasn't go to listen to the episodes 1, 2, and 3. Today I'll be sharing episode 4. And I start off from verses 20, 21. It's interesting, but I'm going to be reading from 21 to verse 23. Pastor Dennis gave me three verses to give you a word from. Thank you, Dennis. That's I think he was just trying to shorten my message, but God has a way of actually always finding, using even one scripture, one verse to bring his message and his word through. So today I know you'll be blessed. So I'll start by reading the verses that are being shared to me. This includes you, who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. The good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. This is such a great passage. Of scripture that we have just to hear what God has done or Christ has done. And I almost dovetail off of what the previous message was, which was Sam. And Sam actually spoke, which Sam kind of spoke of, and he introduced the topic of reconciliation. So today I'm going to actually go expand on that reconciliation. So I'll be talking about reconciliation, forgiveness, and why there was re why reconciliation was required. And it's just amazing just to hear what Christ has done for us to reconcile us to him. I'll start off with a story actually, that hopefully you'll be able to relate to. I'm sure you will. There was a situation in between two individuals in my family. And they didn't see eye to eye. Of course, they were initially all they were both fine, and then at some point, a fence took place between the two, and that offense caused them to separate. And it kind of the offense grew over the years, so much so that it would start affecting the family when we gathered, so much so that. When you invited one, you couldn't invite the other because they would end up, because it got so far, it got so far to the point where they actually physically fight, had yeah, physically started to fight. And from there on, almost, yeah, there was a split. And there still is up until this day where they no longer speak to one another, no longer aware of what's going on in each other's lives. And until they decide to put their issues away, they're not going to be able to get back together. And we're praying for them. And I'm sure you may have individuals in your family that may have, or may you have, you may have even gone through that situation, or you may be in that situation, be it with a sibling, or be it with a friend, or be it with a mother or daughter or son or your whatever it may be, where offense has taken place and there's been a breaking in this relationship. And this is why and this is something that I wanted to kind of press on, because our relationship with God also was broken and it separated us from him. So I've called this today's session a broken relationship. And I'm sure all of you may have experienced this broken relationship, a separation from someone that you love, or you cared about once, or someone that you deemed as friends as once, a family member, as I said, a friend, or whoever it may be. And it seems like, or it is the case that, yeah, nothing's going to change. I can't go back until this particular situation, this particular person changes, or this happens. And that's where we found ourselves, according to this scripture. And it's this, I love this scripture, because it says, from verse 21, it says, this includes you. So this is all of us now. So remember, Paul is actually talking to the church. He's not talking to the world. So we all need to remember that we were all enemies to God at one stage, separated from us, broken in our relationship between him and us. And in Isaiah, it says 59, verse 2 says, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear you. Now that must have been such a difficult situation for God to have to endure. And we know this comes from the initial separation between Adam and Eve and God. Think about it, they had everything they needed in Christ or in God. They had everything they needed in the garden. God gave them a position. God gave them authority. They named everything. God gave them an identity. They were made in their image. God made them value. He gave them everything that was precious around them. He made them in like him. And then they chose to turn away from what it was that God told them to do. And obviously we know that they ate the fruit. And then they were banished out of the garden. And that must have really hurt God. Imagine you have a family member or children that you love dearly, and you have to send them out. Your relationship ends up being broken. And so for some people, their relationships with their parents aren't that great. But say you have someone that you love dearly, and because of something that's occurred, a separation or some offense that's taken or whatever it may be, there is a break in your relationship. Well, here's God having to break the relationship with the children that he has created for himself. He's created to have relationship with, because sin comes into the world and separates them from him. God can't be around sin. It's so severe that God has to ensure that they stay out. So he puts guards to ensure that they don't come back into the garden. That's just the image of that, having to put a guard in front of doors so that your children can no longer come to you in the way that they were. They can only no longer communicate with you, walk with you, talk with you in the way that they once did, because sin has come into us and has separated us. It has now made us almost enemies towards him. It's almost like there was two armies, and then we went to go and put on the clothing of the army that that was opposing God. We dressed up in their suit. And then he can't see us no longer the same way, because we're wearing the opposing side's uniform. And where some of us, almost attack God. Some of us don't attack God, but some of us, but what is definitely common between all of us is that we now live this sinful nature. So we're taking on the nature of the opposing party. So God has to separate us. So from that point, all the way up until Jesus Christ's death and resurrection, the aim was to bring us back to wholeness, into a relationship with him. And hence where we come into this point of reconciliation. And it's important that I just want to kind of share with you what actually happened. So the bond was broken in the garden. And as I said, God wants us back. Now, reconciliation is actually a Latin word. It's not the Greek word. We'll go into that in a minute. And the root meaning, and in fact, the word re, R-E, is a prefix. So you'll see re on restore, redeem, reconciliate, as we have here. And re just means to do again. And conciliation means to make friendly. Another breakdown of the word was to bring back to a former state of harmony. And it's so amazing that Christ wants his whole purpose, from the breaking of the relationship to where we are right now, was to bring us back into this coherent, cohesive, harmonious relationship with him. He didn't want to just leave us to suffer in the choices that we made, in the decision that we made to be disobedient or to live in this particular sinful nature. It was, I want to make a gateway for you to get back into relationship with you. I love you that much. Now, the Greek word is katalej. And the Greek actually, Greek means was to exchange. So the exchange that happened was, Christ died so that you can be brought back into relationship. So he gave his life so that you can have a relationship with God. Ain't that amazing that, as Sam pointed out last week, that we have all of these different faith groups and beliefs and religions, and none of them actually claim that through the giving of what God gave, he gave his only begotten son, for God so loved the world that he gave. Our God is the only God that gives to have an intimate relationship with you. He didn't want, I remember Milton was talking about the tabernacle and you've got the holiest of the holiest. He says, I know, I don't want that to be my place. That was just a path to get us to where we are right now, which is where I can have a complete union with you via the Holy Spirit. And obviously today we're acknowledging Day of Pentecost. And we are celebrating the day that the Holy Spirit came down. So here we can acknowledge that the Holy Spirit is a key factor in bringing us into complete union with him. I want to kind of go through the stages of also how we get to this place of reconciliation. And before I talk about this and the things I want to actually, I'll just kind of talk you quickly through it, which is to establish peace, to break the cycle of strife, and to build a new relationship. These are all these three things, and there's one other that we'll go over as well. God has actually established to actually bring us back to him. So let's go with, let's talk about the establishing peace. Actually, before I do that, God actually spoke to me about, felt that he was leading me to speak also about Jacob and Esau, because we see in that relationship where offense was taken, and they separated. So for those that don't know, I'll just quickly briefly tell you about the story of Jacob and Esau. So Jacob obviously is a twin brother of Esau. And it's crazy, from within the womb, these guys were almost in competition or in strife. So it said that Jacob had when Esau came out first, and it said that, the Bible says that Jacob had the heel of Esau in his hand when they pulled him out. That's the strange. But so they grow up. Esau is more robust. He's more of a warrior, and Jacob's more of the guy that stays at home, and he's kind of more tactile and more, I'd say, intellectual. So Esau goes out one day, goes to go and do some hunting for food. And he isn't successful on that day. He comes back and speaks and is hungry, just very hungry. And he asks Jacob for some food. So Jacob then says, okay, I'll give you some of the food that I've made if you give me your birthright. And in that moment, I guess he was so starving, he says, yes, take my birthright and I will, and then you will give me food. So that exchange happened. Years go on, and they go in as older as brothers now. Isaac is their father, and Isaac's dying. And actually, Sam spoke about this as well. He spoke about the firstborn and the blessings that the firstborn should have. And what he did was he spoke about how it's always that Christ is the firstborn and that he would inherit the blessings. And this is what happened with Jacob and Esau. So it was a time where Isaac was dying, and then what would traditionally happen is that Esau would go to his father, Esau and Jacob, Isaac would pray for him and put in the blessings of the first child over his life. But what happens is Jacob deceives him, canoodles with his mum, and puts on some animal fur, because Esau was very hairy. So to deceive his dad, he put some animal hair on himself, deceived his dad and said, I am Esau. And because the dad was blind at this point. So he then prays for him, and then Isaac, and then Jacob ends up receiving the first son's blessing. At this point, the two of them are at arms. Isaac's wife tells Jacob, look, your brother is angry. If you stay, he will kill you. So go to my brother's land and go and live there until your brother is no longer angry. So this separation happens. Jacob leaves out of fear that his brother will kill him. And this separation happens for 20 years. I want you to stick a pin in it. We're going to come back to that. And we're going to talk about more of that, because I know some of us may have, as I said from the start, some of us may have experienced that with our own friends or our own family members, where we're separated and we haven't seen each other. And it actually happened in the Bible, where two brothers separated. So we get what God did for us to be reconciled with him was to establish peace. So in Romans 5:1, it says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. It's important that God had to establish peace with us. And it's important that we establish peace with those that we have a division or we've separated for us to have reconciliation. Now, with going back to the story of Jacob and Esau, is that when they came back, when they came back together after 20 years, how the story went was that Jacob wanted to come back home now. And Jacob's on his way back home, but he's afraid that Esau is going to kill him. So I'll spare you the details. So he basically sends a few gifts. And then he comes back, and then he comes back and he says, he sends some servants with some gifts. And then the servants say, Esau wants to actually meet you, and he's coming with 400 men. So understandably, Jacob is in total just distraught, thinking that he's going to kill his, thinking that the two of them are going, well, Esau is going to kill him and his family and his children and everything and everything else that he's come with. But they meet. As opposed to them fighting, Esau actually hugs his brother. He says, I don't need anything that you're going to give me. I have everything. But the important thing here is that peace was established prior to Esau meeting Jacob. He didn't need him around to actually deal with the issue of anger or unforgiveness prior to him reaching there. Peace was established. So they can reconcile because they established peace. In the same way that God establishes peace with us through Jesus Christ, we also ought to establish peace with each other. God also broke the cycle of strife in Ephesians 2:16. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility toward each other was put to death. And this is why we need to continuously thank Christ for the fact that he died on the cross. The cross was not just so that we can actually just be, set free from the curse of sin, but it also enabled us to break that cycle of enmity between us and God. And in doing so, he built a new relationship with us. Hence why Christ says, no man can come to the Father, yet he be born again. We need to be born again to have this relationship with Christ. This, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it goes as far as saying, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And that's so amazing, the fact that he says that the old nature of yourself, all those things that you used to do, all those things that you may even tag to yourself, I don't see them as you anymore. All those things that you would that you may repeat or was repeating or may was a stumbling block in our relationship. There, don't worry about that. I have washed them away. I think it's Isaiah 43:25 says that. It is I, for my own sake, will forget all those things that you've done. I will remember them no more. And that's the beauty of God, is that he remembers those things no more. He actually literally starts a new relationship with us. And that's done through his forgiveness. In the same way that forgiveness was carried out by Esau to accept his brother, is the same way that we have to carry out forgiveness. God carries out forgiveness. In fact, forgiveness is a prerequisite for actually our relationship with God and actually getting to heaven. He says, unless you forgive others, I can't forgive you of your sin. And that's a heavy burden to carry, because sometimes offense can be real, really deep. And they say that time is a great healer. But I don't totally agree with that. I think what you do with time creates your healing. Hearing this, he says, forgive. So ideal reconciliation prevents once and for all the use of the past as a seed of renewed conflict. So no one wants to go out, or no one goes out to an event or to a party, or to go and see their friends at a smart occasion, and they deliberately wear a shirt or clothing that has the stains of the last time they wore it. In the same way, carrying unforgiveness does not affect the other person, it affects you. You are carrying the stains of what happened previously in our life. And even God is saying, I can't, for us to be able to move forward, forgiveness must be given. Because I no longer want to see you as your sinful individual. I will see you as a new person, as a new creature. Behold, all things have become new in me. And Micah 7:18 says, where is another God like you, who pardons the guilt of the remnant, overlooking the sins of his special people? You're special. This includes you. That's a phrase I'm going to continue using throughout this message. You will not stay angry with your people forever. This includes you, because you delight in showing unfailing love. Isn't it amazing that God shows us unfailing love? But he delights, he doesn't only just show it, but he delights in showing us unfailing love. He wants us to get back into this place of being his children. We know the Bible says that he adopts us into his family, and that's done through the vehicle of forgiveness. So forgiveness isn't, and the thing is, forgiveness isn't the goal in the relationship. God doesn't just want to forgive us and set us free and redeem us from the curse of death and everything else that comes with it. He actually wants to forgive us and then have a relationship with us, an intimate relationship with us. He goes as far as to say that we are the apple of his eye. Whichever God or faith or group religion will ever, or God says that about the people that follow that faith. Who calls them children? Who forgives them of their sins, brings them close to them? He goes as far as to say, look, in my presence, this is in Psalm 16, I think it's verse 11. It says, in my presence, there is the fullness of joy. And in my right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. That's what we want to do, is remain in his presence. He's called up, he's brought reconciliation for us to be in his presence. Let's not just come every Sunday. Let's not actually just hear these great words that are being given to us by God and not do anything with it. The other key thing about forgiveness is that, as I said, with Esau and Jacob, is that Esau's forgiveness took place without Jacob saying a single thing to him. Now, I understand that reconciliation isn't a must. Reconciliation isn't what is called for from us, because reconciliation requires two people to be reconciled, two people to have the same forgiveness, peace, and letting go of the back. And I understand sometimes it's hard to do that. And unforgiveness is almost like having a car and you're driving and you're going forward. But to actually go forward, you're looking in your rearview mirrors. You're trying to move forward. Those that drive, I drive. There is no way I'm going to be able to continue driving forward for a long period, or maybe even a short period of time, by just looking at my rearview mirrors. Forgiveness, from what God is saying, breaks off the rearview mirrors and starts fresh and moves forward. That's how God sees us. He says we're new creatures in him. And it's important that we also almost portray those things, because we're meant to be of Christ as well. So in some cases, healing is actually definitely required. And I'm not saying that, of course, that we should be just callous with our minds and our hearts and allow everybody to just kind of trample it and offend us in any way. No, the Bible doesn't suggest that at all. It says in some cases, healing must take place. And it says that he heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. So thank God that he knows that it's not always an easy process. Healing may need to take place. And we should pray about the situations or those circumstances that we find difficult to actually live out this fruit of forgiveness, because it is required of us. And it's something, as I said, that we see God doing us. And it's such a beautiful thing that he would do all of this after all of the offense that we've given him. He says that we're enemies. Remember, there's a gulf, there's a divide. But because I desire this relationship with you, I will end up forgiving you. Oops. And Proverbs 4 and 23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do falls from it. So, and this is why it's important not to just allow people to just stamp all over our heart, not just allow, God tells us to forgive and this, that, and the other. But the Bible also says that out of the heart flows the issues of life. So if the issues of life, or if have offended you or hurt you, or they've been quite traumatic for some of us, those issues will, and they're in our heart, those things will flow from our heart, whether we know it or not. They may not flow from it in every situation that you may find yourself in, or every relationship that you find yourself in, but according to the word, it says that we should guard our heart, because out of it flows the issues of our heart. And as we read just a minute ago, that if there are any issues, he's able to heal us from them. We should come to him with our broken hearts and he will heal us. And the thing is, even God demonstrates this separation that occurs. God guards the things that are precious to him. And he will cause a separation where necessary. As I said already, we were separated from him because he cannot be around sin. So there's God demonstrating the separation which happened in the garden. Jesus protected his mind when Peter said to him that, no, Jesus, you're not going to die. Jesus responded with, get thee behind me, Satan. I'm like, how did you get from Jesus, you're not going to die, to get thee behind me, Satan? It's like he went from 0 to 100 quick. What was the issue was that his thoughts, he had to guard. Maybe Jesus didn't want to go through the process of death. And we see that when he gets to the Garden of Gethsemane, because of the fact that he says, Lord, if there is another way of doing this, let this bitter cup pass me by. So there we have him saying what he you know, how he feels. But then he goes on to saying, but not my will, let your will be done. So he had to protect his mind, and he does this via prayer. And every morning, you know, he used to wake up early in the morning without the disciples, and he would go and pray. We also should protect our mind and our hearts with prayer. In the same way that God did also with Satan, we see Satan being dashed out of heaven when he turned against God. God, again, divides. So we should also understand that we need to protect our hearts. We can't just allow people just run up and do all types of things because, you know, God says that God is love, but he also says his wisdom as well. So pointing fingers never really heals. And as I said, what we should do is pray that God heals us. And we see pointing fingers is something that the enemy does. Read in Revelation 12 and 10. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down. He's the accuser who accuses them day and night before our God. And hear this. He's mostly right in his accusations. I know he's right. If he was to accuse me, he would be right. He will accuse you. This includes you. Yes, you did do what he says you did. Yes, you are going through the things that he's saying that you're going through. Yes, you did lie. Yes, you did covet. Yes, you did was biased to someone when you shouldn't. Yes, you did was just backbiting and hurt somebody. Yes, you did all those things. But hear this. Christ says, I have forgiven you of your past. Christ is on the other side, our advocate, saying, but I've forgiven them. In Romans 8 and 16, it says, My spirit beareth witness with their spirit that they are children. So the identification is, but they have my spirit. And because they have my spirit in them, anything you accuse them of means nothing. God has brought back our relationship with him in a way that we could never have, in a way that no other God could. And we'll read this last one. But you must continue. And this is where Paul goes on to say, but you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. The good news has been preached all over the world. And I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. So now we know this truth, saints. Now that you know this includes you. Now that we know that you were all, we were all enemies. Some of us may be enemies right now. Some of us, because we've now given our lives to Christ, are no longer enemies. But this was you. And now that you know the truth or the understanding of who Christ is, stand in that truth. Now that you know Christ desires and wants an intimate relationship with you. He said, sparrows fall. And not one sparrow falls at the sky without me knowing. How much more than you? When he calls you precious, when he says, I love you, he calls you in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1, he says that, I love you so much, I've called you children. That's how God feels about you. Now that you know that, stand firmly in it. Now that we know we're reconciled with him, let's stand firm in that truth. Not only that, Paul, as we see, Paul goes and say, yeah, he now preaches about this. And some of us may think, obviously, of course, we don't have the ministry of Paul. But according to the scripture, that may be, according to scripture, that may not entirely be true. Paul may travel all across the world telling us about starting up churches and trying to make Christians from those that are not Christians, but we are also called to do the same thing. And we'll see that in this scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 21. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation and gave us, this is me and you, those that are Christians. This includes you. He has given you the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Praise the Lord, because I would have a lot. And I'm sure you would as well. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. So now it's your, he's given it to you. It is now for you to carry that message of reconciliation to anyone that's around you. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore, God is making his, let me go back. Christ is making his appeal through you. This includes you. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who made no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. Now we're the righteousness. Now he's cleaned us. Now he's presented his bride without spot or blemish because the Holy Spirit, because Christ died and we have the Holy Spirit. So this is what I want you to take away. And as we close, we were all far from God and our sin made us his enemies. You are brought back into an intimate relationship with God. And I want to stress the word intimate. We really need to, I mean, God knows everything about us. He's very detailed about his information. And it's now for us to get into an intimate relationship with him. And as we see, David, the writings that he's given were so you could see he had an intimate relationship with God. It said that he was a man after God's own heart. And I think that's something that we should try and be. People after God's own heart, not people that's chasing the world or chasing our own opinions or chasing the things that he's given us, but let's chase his heart. Christ is the doorway to your relationship with him. As Christ has done, I mean, we should bring forgiveness, peace, and love into our relationships. Be wise and guard your heart. You have work to do. You have work to do. Be an ambassador of the kingdom and bring reconciliation to everyone that is around you. You have work to do. You have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Now you've received forgiveness. I hope and I pray that you also will exhibit mercy, peace, forgiveness in your relationships, and also you may share the word of God.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope it blessed you. And if it did, please like, comment, and subscribe for more videos from Micah. And don't forget to click the notification bell to see when they're uploaded. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you in the next.